You are listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Station, playing shows from the current week, in the hopes you'll take a listen, find something interesting, maybe informative, and maybe inspiring. Thank you for being here. Be safe. Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, and Dolly Howard. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Turn away from disaster, horizon side. Choose your heart as a master.
And welcome to Cosmic Reality Radio. It is November 26, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. Hi, Walt. How are you doing tonight? Okay.
Maybe that was his phone ringing.
Oh, he has a message coming in. Okay, so how are you tonight, Dolly?
I'm okay. How are you? How's the book?
Oh, the book. Okay, so I was absolutely positive that I would be able to submit the book on Monday. And
it's not me. Oh, hey, you two. Stop it. Girls are fighting.
It's one of those days.
Yes, it is.
So, on Sunday, I spent 10 hours putting together the index for the book.
Wow.
And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I realized that there was a very bad... I was doing the table of contents by that time. I realized there was a very bad problem in that the copy of the master that I was using to get the indexing so that nothing would go wrong with the master had, for inexplicable reasons, dropped a page down a half a page and probably threw off all my indexing or some of it.
Oh, no.
So... And then I pulled up the master, and I realized that for whatever reason, the master, which hadn't been touched except when I was putting in the corrections from Jan, who's done the editing, all the pictures were wrong. They had all gotten twice the size they were supposed to be, and they were bleeding into the print and everything else.
Oh, my gosh.
That wouldn't have been the bad fix. The bad fix is the index thing. So by the time I get to... Monday, I'm so burnt out about the book that I just, and I got guests coming, I said, I'm going to clean. So, plus Killick was here, so I said, Killick, oh, please get the ladder from the shed and bring it into me. I got to do my ceiling fans. Well, you know how it is. When you get up on a ladder and you're doing ceiling fans, then you might as well do the ceiling. And all the high bookshelves up there, and you know, I mean, so 6 hours later, and I'm going to preface this next little part of the story that nobody got hurt, okay? But
Oh, good. Okay.
I managed to do the stupidest thing that I have ever done in my life, which was to be up on the ladder and be at the 4 foot rung of a 6 foot ladder. And cleaning the ceiling, looking up, so that I forgot I was on the ladder. I turned, and I took a step off the ladder.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, what was really bizarre about this is that it was like, you know, I've still got my left leg on the rung, but I realized that there's nothing under my right leg because I'm 4 foot up on a ladder. And I got this instantaneous feeling that I was Wile E. Coyote, that I'd just gone off the cliff. And you know how there's that hesitation before he starts falling, you know?
Yes.
And you don't hear him say it, but I said it. I said, oh, bleep, right? Because I'm about to careen off of this. Oh, my God. And I don't know what possessed me, except that maybe training came in. I don't know. But I decided, or I don't even, it wasn't even a decision. It was like, I've got to detach from the ladder. So I kicked off from the ladder. And what happened was that I landed straight down on my feet, both of them. But the forward momentum threw me to my right knee. And I could feel my whole body get jarred. Understand, this is 4 feet high.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've just landed on stone. Okay, now the stone happens to be quartzite. And quartz has got a lot of magical things in it. And this is, I've dropped glass on this floor and it hasn't gotten hurt. So, but, I mean, I don't remember screaming out, but I think the noise was enough to bring the dog in, because I'm like, oh my God. And I'm afraid to move because I'm not sure if I'm broken, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. And I'm like, the bottoms of my feet, you know how when you slap your hands too hard, you'll get that tingly pain? Oh, my
yeah.
God, they were like, you know, what did you just do, you idiot? You know, and I was concerned about my ankles, because I had a friend who easily broke her ankle, just a nothing thing, you know. So I'm like, I didn't move for a while. And I'm going through, and I'm kind of testing out my body, and I went, I don't think I'm hurt, you know. And then I get up, and I go, and I'm thinking about what just happened, and I'm kind of thinking, I must be hurt, you know. So then I go and I sit down in the chair, and I'm going, no, I don't think I'm hurt. And later on that day, I'm telling my friend Peter the story. And Peter says, and I said to Peter, I said, I actually think that somebody caught me. Because my mind is telling me at the 3D that I should have been really hurt. And yet I wasn't. So I say this to Peter, and Peter proceeds to tell me this story. And this is the real story here at Delhi for you. He was telling me that in their neighborhood, you know, at one of the malls where they've got like three stories of the apiary area, that some ding-a-ling 8-year-old kid climbed over the railing and actually fell 30 feet onto cement.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, he got a little hurt, but he lived, and he shouldn't have. And he said that the angels caught me on the way down.
Oh, wow. Goosebumps. Wow.
Yeah. I meant to look that up and get more specifics, but I forgot. But isn't that an amazing story?
Yes.
And my story is pretty amazing, too. So the bottom line is that... The book is going to be delayed. It's all written. All it needs is the indexing and the table of contents. You know, this should have been a no big deal thing. But that was kind of my warning doing that. I mean, oh, my God. I can still see myself just stepping off into the air. Nothing underneath me. You know,
yeah.
It was such a weird visual thing, you know. And I still had the... I actually... still had the wand to the vacuum cleaner in my hand, you know. You know, it's like, you know, you just did something incredibly stupid, and we, you know, but it's because you're going too fast. Slow down.
Yeah.
You know, just take it easy. So I'm going to have a good Thanksgiving. I'm not going to worry about the book. People will get it when they get it. And thank you all of you that have been pre-ordering it. I'm sorry to tell you it's going to be delayed, but it's written.
They'll be okay.
Yeah, it's been written. And besides which, you know, if it wasn't for somebody catching me, it might have been really delayed. So.
Yeah, really? Wow.
Very yeah, I better send you a copy of it, Dolly. Something happens and you can finish it.
Wow.
Walter's been very busy today. Is he just going?
It sounds like it.
Now he's gone again, I bet.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Who is filming it? Who's it? I have to mute.
You.
What do you mean, who was filming it?
Her phone?
Yeah, when you did the thing with the ladder, who was filming it?
Well, I hope it was recorded in the annals of the Cosmic Akashic Record. It was an interesting experience. I mean, but the stupidest thing I've ever done. I can explain it, but I got no excuse. That was really stupid. And, you know, after the fact, when I'm sitting in the chair going like, okay, am I all right? You know, I'm thinking about how, what a bitch I was when Peter fell off at 6 feet onto his back. And that was the last time that he came here. He was all crippled up, not crippled up, but he was, you know, he was really in pain and achy and stuff, you know. And I thought, you know, yeah, I might be a little achy in the morning, but I wasn't, you know, and I was a little bit, but nothing. But it was so odd because the last, just before the last time he gets here, he falls off a ladder, and he's coming tomorrow or Thursday, and I fell off in that ladder. You know, it's like, what the hell is this? But I was yelling at him. You're going too fast. You got to slow down. Did you have the ladder? And I'm bitching about the ladder. Well, my ladder was perfectly sane. My person on the ladder was not. And then I told Cindy about it, and she said, well, you know, there's that extreme danger of those people that do billboards and they step back to admire their work.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it just takes a fraction, just a fraction of a second of stupidity.
Yep.
Amazing. But anyway, I'm fine. The book's going to be a little delayed, but I'm going to have a good Thanksgiving.
Good.
I've only got good things to be thankful for. After all, I know you two. Well, I sort of know you two. You're people on the computer.
Voices on the machine.
Voices on the machine. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you had me wondering one time if I was a clone.
So, which one of you wants to tell a story? I told one. Who's up next?
Well, I got the Fulford report whenever you guys are in the mood.
Oh, yeah. You want to do the Fulford dollar, or do you want to get into something else here?
No, I don't want to get into it. I've been into shit all week. Oh, and this is only Tuesday. Oh,
wow.
No,
foiled again by time. Time slowing down. I never should have sent that thing to Nancy. Now your time is super slow. The week is taking like 17 days to pass.
Oh, my gosh, it did this week.
Oh, dear. Okay, so let's do Fulford and see what we can come up with him. Thank you.
Okay, the report is dated November 25th. The title of the report is Things Heat Up as Netanyahu Indicted While Trump Declares War on the Queen. The battle for the planet Earth has heated up again as mass-murdering Israeli Crime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is indicted, while U.S. President Donald Trump declares war on Queen Elizabeth. Economic and information
warfare... Wait, I got to stop you. You mean he's actually been indicted? Ben's not just saying he has.
Yeah, there's article on the internet if you search, you know, for the more alternative news site, not the cabal fake news machine. They say he's been indicted. That's why Israel is quite a mess over there, because now they're scrambling to put someone to replace him.
I didn't hear what they did with him after they indicted him. Did he go to jail, or did they assassinate him? What happened to him?
No, he has to be processed, unless somebody wants to get economic and just take him out, put him out of his misery. I don't know, but. So
what do you mean by processed?
He's been indicted, which means that you don't even necessarily have to be arrested, do you, Walt? If you're indicted, I mean, it's normally that you're arrested and then indicted.
Well, but doesn't that come from what gets done? Doesn't that come from the courts when the district attorneys sit down with the judge and discuss the best course of action, depending on the crime and the individual? You might want to arrest him to make sure he doesn't flee the country or something, or
maybe
he might be called in. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but so far, every time I hear that thing come up, how they deal with it is different. It has to do with time, circumstance, individual, what was done. how it was done, so I don't know.
Okay, my other question is, who exactly indicted him?
He talks later on in the article, so maybe that'll come
up. Okay, thank you.
Sam says, yes, he's been indicted. He's got government immunity until he's deposed.
Oh, because he's still the president.
Well, prime minister. They don't have
prime minister. He's still the prime minister. Wow, that's interesting. Well, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, that's why they're scrambling to find somebody to replace him.
I got it, got it, got it, got it. Okay, thanks, Sam. I don't know why I yelled.
Really? And hi, everybody who's out there.
Yeah, the problem is he likes to sit all the way in the back row, so you got to yell to get
him. I guess, maybe.
It is a big auditorium, you know, cosmic reality auditorium. You know.
Worldwide. That's funny. Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead. Let's go.
Economic and information warfare between the U.S. and China is heating up too, especially over Asian gold and the recent American lithium grab in Bolivia. This is part of the ongoing battle for control of the international financial system, raging between the Gnostic Illuminati and an alliance of Asian and European royals. Let us first look at the battle for control of the Anglo-Saxon world that is flaring between Trump and the British Empire. Here, Pentagon sources say, in quotes, Trump is declaring war on the Queen not just for spying and trying to remove him from power, but also for pedophilia, murder, and other heinous crimes of the royal family, close quotes. British royal family sources are saying that while traditionally they try to keep a stiff upper lip and stay above the fray, they are seriously thinking of hiring lawyers to sue for libel over recent such allegations against them. The public battle is centered around Prince Andrew and his connections to pedophile blackmailer Jeffrey Epstein and an alleged affair with a 17-year-old girl. Pedophile Prince Andrew, or Randy Andy, is so toxic, he has been or is about to be dumped by British Telecom, Standard Chartered, Barclays, Stelios Philanthropic Foundation, Bosch, Cisco, Aon, Salesforce, TV Azteca, Inmarsat, KPMG, AstraZeneca, AirAsia, Woodside Petroleum, and even Chinese companies like the Bank of China, the China Construction Bank, JD.com, Tencent, and the Lackey and the Li Ka-shing Foundation, the Pentagon sources say. So I guess he must have been, a rep for all these companies, or somehow.
They're paying him money for his name or something like that.
Yes, he was endorsing them, and they were paying him money, and now they're dumping him because instead of being a positive image, he's the most horrible image. The Queen has also publicly dismissed Andrew from all official royal activities. A European royal close to the Queen said, "I wouldn't be surprised if the affair seriously damages the monarchy. The Queen is no longer in supreme control of the monarchy and court of St. James." For insiders...
And she even canceled his birthday party in February.
Oh, okay. So all those people that were going to sacrifice in his honor are going to stay here? Okay.
Yeah.
So the Queen is no longer in supreme control of the monarchy and court of St. James. For insiders, it is really very serious now. The real battle, of course, is over control of the Anglo-Saxon navies, agree Pentagon and MI6 sources. Here, in quotes, the Trump purge began with the firing of Secretary of the Navy Richard Spencer for insubordination and may be followed by Obama flag officer holdovers as the Donald has won the loyalty of warfighters and special ops forces needed to take down the Zionist and the deep state, Pentagon sources say. MI6 sources, for their part, say there seems to be a lot of infighting now and attempts to strip the Queen of things like the CIA, US, DOD, etc. So this latest fiasco may be an expression of all this, close quotes. In a sign of just how serious a battle this is, the Pentagon sources say that since Vice Admiral Andrew won't be extradited and may hide behind diplomatic immunity, He may be renditioned by the U.S. military since the Queen is also commander-in-chief of U.K. forces. Needless to say, such an operation would be tantamount to a declaration of war. The battle to control the U.S. and U.K. navies is also just one aspect of the bigger battle for control of the financial...
Can you go back and explain that, read that thing about the war? What, we're going to go to war with the Queen? I mean, this is serious.
It seems that this Andrew guy is a vice admiral. He appears to have a military title.
Okay, so we're still talking about Andrew, and he's got...
Correct.
He's a vice admiral. And why is that important?
Because there's this battle for control of the navies, the U.S. Navy and the U.K. navies. That's what they, you know, whoever controls the Navy is going to, you know, he's going to have a say in how things get done. So that's why they're saying in this, the Pentagon source is saying that since Vice Admiral Andrew won't be extradited and may hide behind, it seems that they want to arrest him for all the crap that he's done, but he won't be extradited and he may hide behind diplomatic immunity. Now, I'm not a ex-military anything, so I don't know what he means by this term, renditioned by the U.S. military. Does that mean that they can arrest him by force?
Yeah.
So, he may be renditioned by the U.S. military since the Queen is also commander-in-chief of U.K. forces. So, I guess taking him by force would be tantamount, that's what he's saying, such an operation would be tantamount to a declaration of war. So if the U.S. military try to arrest him by force, that would be, and since he's still British royal, that would be tantamount to a declaration of war.
Yes, that all makes sense now, that, because I'm like, what? Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've seen
it
pictures of him wearing military uniform, so he must have a rank of some kind.
Oh yeah, they're
all their boys are in the service.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's rendition is when they, just like you explained, when they it's not that it's unlawful. It's sort of like one of those vague things where the military gives them a mission to capture this person. Okay. Now, it happens all the time, it was happening all the time with the Al-Qaeda, that there was all this, you know, I mean, that's how they ended up in Guantanamo in such numbers, because there wasn't any legal process for their arrest. It was a decision that they were terrorists and that the army had to capture them.
There are no Miranda rights involved.
No, but the weird thing here with Andrew would be, okay, so he's apparently been implicated in the Epstein ongoing investigation because Epstein's dead, so they can pursue it and go after whoever they want. Why would they necessarily want to go and bring this guy back when you're going to peeve off the British? It sounds more like it's sort of a message, you know, that we're coming after you.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now.
Yeah, that sounds like a message to me more so than some, you know, legalese court thing. And first off, if it's a legal situation with the case, well, the military doesn't have anything to do with that. So if you're talking about an actual rendition, you're using some very, you know, high-level assets of the military.
This has been said since the very beginning is that trying to use process of law is a waste of time because all the lawyers and all the judges are part of the corporate government. The only people that are above and beyond this are the military, who have sworn to defend and protect the nation and its citizens. Because if you can't use the system to fix the system, it's a corrupt system. It's not a government of the people. It's a private corporation. So you can't use the corporation to fix the corporation. It is what it is. It's a machine of designed to, you know, for to benefit itself, not the people. We've already established that. So how are you going to use lawyers and judges when they're part of that corrupt system? where the military are not constrained by that.
Well, I agree. I agree with the strategy. I agree that it's needed. I mean, mm-hmm. because the people that are the white hats within the military are the ones that are upholding their oath to the Constitution. Because there is a corporation that's running the country, and they swore allegiance to the Constitution. It's
yeah,
their
so the
legal...
corporation is essentially the enemy of the country.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's call it by what it is.
It is, and by law, I mean, I took the oath, you know, and nobody came up to me and said, well, now that you've resigned your commission, the oath no longer applies. Nobody ever said that to me. So I take it as a lifelong, you know, code of what I should do should I see the Constitution being trampled like these people have done to it. Okay? Now, sometime in the show, don't let me forget, I want to play something because I want you to see a situation where the law has worked. Okay? But we don't have to get into it now. We'll finish with Fulford. But the thing about this with the Andrew thing is that it looks more like it is. I would think of it more as a declaration of war, exactly like it was presented by Fulford. I'm agreeing with Fulford, but
You said that maybe a message is being sent. I think the message is you guys are not as untouchable as you think you are, because forever they hide behind their royalty ranks and whatnot. Well, no, you're not untouchable anymore. You're just fallible, as mortal as the rest of us.
I think it's more like the gloves have just come off. You know, we're not holding back. We're going after you. You know, a declaration of war.
Yeah, this also reminds me, remember, I don't remember if it was 1 or 2 years ago when I mentioned the investigation that was done by this lady, Mary Alice Kemery, who wrote astrology books under the name Linda Goodman.
And she's Abraham Lincoln?
Do you remember the story of Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, tell
it. One of the things that she discovered, well, not to get too much into it, the point that I wanted to bring up, what this is reminding me of, is that in the process of her investigations, where she spent hours every day at the Library of Congress with the help and guidance of a veteran historian, she was able to discover that the reason Jefferson failed, he tried and he failed, and Lincoln tried and he failed, they tried to shut down the U.S. Treasury because they discovered that the U.S. Treasury was actually being owned and run by the Bank of England. They wanted an independent country, not a subservient country. And here the U.S. Treasury takes its orders and marching orders and operational instructions from the Bank of England. So they wanted to close those agencies and create something different, and they both failed. That's the real reason behind the assassination of Lincoln, because he was in the process of attempting that, and they couldn't let that happen. So here you're still a colony. If the agency that you have created to print your money is being controlled by an external political force, is this your country? No, it isn't. It's somebody else's. It's like you're all members, you're all hired hands of this gigantic farm called America that belongs to these royals. So this is what this reminds me of, that which she found in her investigations.
Well, I don't remember which of the founding fathers it was, but one of them said, I am more concerned about a bank being controlled and standing armies, very badly.
Correct.
I'm badly quoting them, but it is. They understood. I mean, I can tell you why I can say that the American Revolution was actually because of this concept of the international control from finances. So it's all entwined, all of this financial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Dolly, did you have anything to observe or ask?
They're working on redoing our money system, and I guess they're close to having it done. So don't be surprised when you hear Our money system has been changed.
Why are you saying that? Does this come over the contemporary television?
No. No, I saw it on the internet.
Oh, okay. It's,
you know, the internet never lies.
Well, I trust the internet more, you know, I don't trust the other sources at all.
Yeah. I was listening to somebody talking on, I don't know who it was, but they're saying, and that was, I've heard it several times, not just once, but several times that they're working on new money system. So just don't be surprised when it happens.
Well, we tell you that every time he reads Fulford. Okay, you ready to go on?
Yeah.
Okay, so the last paragraph ended, and needless to say, such an operation would be tantamount to a declaration of war. The battle to control the U.S. and U.K. navies is also just one aspect of the bigger battle for control of the financial system. Trump is on the warpath against the European and Asian royals because they're about to stage a simultaneous recalibration of the forex and sovereign debt markets on a global level, according to the European royal. Trump is attempting to counter this by going after the $29 trillion Indonesian gold fraud carried out by the Federal Reserve Board at the time of the Lehman crisis, according to CIA sources in Asia. According to the CIA, in quotes, during the financial crisis, the New York Fed was given unprecedented powers by the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in Washington, D.C. to create over $29 trillion of electronically engineered money to bail out Wall Street. A significant portion of the $29 trillion went to prop up many of the central banks around the world. In his counterattack, Trump's soon-to-be next move is that the Green Hilton Memorial Agreement, signed by then-President John F. Kennedy and President Sukarno at Geneva on November 1963, becomes a reality. Trump can, with the stroke of his pen by executive order, reinstate Executive Order 11110 or an amendment thereof, thus allowing the Department of the Treasury to issue the new United States dollars. This may be the reboot of the U.S. dollar as Trump leaves the debt to the Federal Reserve to be resolved by the actual owners, the Hazarian Zionist cabal, the CIA says. The European royal commented that if that is the extent of the received intelligence at the CIA, then we have a long way to go with them. Individual nation states, such as America, would obviously be prevented from going it alone because of the inherent interdependence in the whole thing. But the plan is to migrate away from fiat to asset-backed currency. That part is correct, yes, close quotes. Trump, meanwhile, is also attacking Wall Street. According to the Pentagon sources, and quotes, after the failed IPOs of WeWork, Lyft, and Uber, greedy Wall Street is unable to make much money from the pump and dump Aramco IPO as their top dogs like JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs face Department of Justice criminal enterprise investigations along with Boeing, General Electric, and other corporate miscreants, the sources say. Saudi Aramco, of course, is key to the support of the Rockefeller petrodollar. On this front, the Pentagon sources note, the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, the Russian oil company Lukoil, and the Malaysian national oil company Petronas all say no to Aramco, leading other pensions like the Japan Pension Investment Fund and state-owned companies like Rosneft, PetroChina, Sinopec, Gazprom, Petrobras, and Pertamina to follow. Trump has also seized Japan's $1.5 trillion national pension fund to keep the U.S. government afloat, according to CIA sources in Asia.
Wait a minute, Walt.
Yeah.
How can Trump seize China's 401k stuff or whatever it was?
Japan.
Well, how can he do that? It's their country. How can he go over and say, I'm taking your stuff? Yeah,
but the prime minister takes marching orders from a guy here in the U.S. Remember, he's explained this before? It's a cabal. The government in China is a cabal government. It's not the government of the people. The guy in power followed the orders of the Khazarians. And since the U.S. government is owned by the Khazarians still, Trump can use, I think, his president card to do something like this. I don't think he did it openly or publicly. But
this is the first I've heard. Yeah.
Here's the, I'm going to cut and paste the link to the article that explains this. This
cool.
way. Here we go. There we go.
Thank you.
Okay. I wish I were a financial genius, but I'm not, so. Okay. Where is the real money that all the Japanese worked for all these years? When the market crashes, as it is very close to doing, there go all the computer entries. I presume it is nearly the same with all government pension funds. The game is about over. Close quotes. Is how the CIA source explained the situation. The other thing the Trump forces are doing is physically detaining and killing or else imprisoning political enemies. That's why, as far as we can tell, all recent appearances by Barack Obama, George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, etc., are computer graphics. It's getting hard.
Oh, now wait a minute. Adam Schiff, how can it be holographic thing when he's sitting right there in the committee room right next to, for instance, Nunes? I mean, I can't swallow that.
I don't know why he's quoting these names. I don't follow the news that you follow, so I'm just reading from the report.
Yeah,
I did send you that.
I can't swallow that at all.
I sent you the, what do you call it? The screen capture. I was able to pause it.
Yes, yes.
The instant when her eye flashed. And that happens when you have high speed, when you have a high frame rate. Since when you are generating images by computer, okay, when you're filming, let's say you're filming, you have a Super 8 camera on, and you're filming film. Right, that has to be developed like a photo. Regardless of the frame rate, every frame is going to be exposed to the light, so you're going to capture an image, right? When you're doing computer graphics, those frames are not being created by film, whether even if it's a digital cell, something is being exposed to light, real light that's coming off of a real object. So every frame is complete, because every frame has been exposed to the light source and the light coming from the object that you're filming. But when you're creating computer graphics, each frame is being created by the computer program, the algorithm that's creating the image. And if when frame rates are very high, in the case if you're imitating a living being, I'm sure the frame rate must be something between 45 and 60 frames per second in order to make the movement very lifelike. And it's very simple for the program to have a little glitch and have a frame that it's not exactly complete. It'll be missing pixels or a fragment of the image might be a little bit malformed. That's why movies that are CGI require a lot of editing because they need to catch all those errors. And sometimes some of these errors do make it into final movies. I know that sci-fi movies and superhero movies, the geeks that follow all that genre, they make it a point of like a competition between them. How many errors did you catch in the movie and stuff like that? And it's true. And you pay attention. Oh yeah, there is. Look at that. That doesn't make any sense. How can this be in front of this when in reality it's and stuff like that. So when I saw that, it's a very convincing piece of evidence that. It could very well be CGI.
Okay, let me say something to Nancy. Mm-hmm. He is talking about what Jan had put in the chat when we were doing our last show on air.
I sent the picture to Nancy, but I don't know if she saw it.
Pelosi, yes, and her eye doing the weird thing that it turned like all white or something weird.
Yeah.
Like it hadn't gotten the color filtering into it. Right. Dolly, I think that when you're wondering about the concept of, I think what you're talking about, both of you, is a holographic image. That if you've got a holographic image, one of the ones that they show is like a shark in a pool. And okay. No matter where you're looking at that, it looks like a real shark in a pool. So let's say that you do have Schiff sitting at a table. You're seeing him sitting at the table. Are you going to reach out and say, hey, are you a hologram?
Well, you know, wouldn't the people sitting on either side of him know?
Not necessarily.
A hologram feels real?
Well, I don't think you feel people next to you.
Well, of course you do if you bump into them.
Well, they would just make sure you didn't bump into them.
Did you see him shaking hands with anybody?
Dolly, that's a good way of looking, because you look at this stuff. See if you see anybody touch him or he touch anybody else.
Well, I have to look the next time I see him.
Well, you don't have to look at him. Just look around him.
This just seems so incredible to me. I just can't. I can't get it through my brain.
Well, I know the technology is not available here, but I know it's available in Japan. Some people have posted fragmentary videos on Facebook in some malls in Japan. They have this holographic technology. And for example, you see people walking in the mall, and all of a sudden a polar bear shows up, and the people walk away in fright because it looks 100% solid. The thing is that you can't touch it because it's not made of solid matter. It's a projected 3D image, but it's so convincing that, you know, you see men, women, and kids like kind of cower away from, you know, the bear is walking very peacefully there, not attacking anybody, not growling anything. But it's convincing beyond a doubt. And then they did another one where they cleared a certain amount of floor in the mall. They cleared it, so the people are being instructed to sit around the perimeter of the floor. And then all of a sudden, a whale breaks through the surface of the floor. And then, you know, when a whale breaches, it jumps out of the water and then it falls into the water and you see all the water splashing. A whale did that. Yes. In the middle of the floor, and everybody's expecting to get wet, and it's not real water. It's projected holographic water. So that's how convincing it is. And the technology's been around for some time. Just because we can't go to the store and buy it doesn't mean they're not exploiting it. Look at all the UFO technology they've been exploiting since, what, the 40s, the 30s? And we're not aware of it.
Well, the Army actually has the ability to create a... It's whiles back. I mean, this is old technology comparatively, but what this guy had on was like some kind of a netting, you know, that could so that the electromagnetic programming was actually playing on this netting, and what would happen is that you'd see him walking, and then all of a sudden he disappeared because you saw behind him. You saw, you know, the whatever, and it was like a desert scene. So you're looking out quite a bit, and it looks to you like the desert. I mean, he just disappears. You see the desert, but no, they are able to somehow or another project to the front what is being recorded on the back, so that you get an image that blends in with the geography. So this is old technology.
What Nancy's describing, I have seen it again in Japanese films. They're having people are going to concerts, and you know where you normally go to a concert to see somebody, a rock group playing something, and it's a concert. And the interesting thing is that the band that's playing the instruments, they're all human, they're flesh and blood people, and they're all playing instruments. You know, this guy's playing drums, this one's playing keyboards, bass, guitar, whatnot. But the singer at the front of the stage is like an anime character that's singing, whether it's male or female. And you see, it's kind of odd. You see all the people in the crowd are so excited and they're jumping and they're dancing. And I'm thinking, but they must realize that they're not looking at a human singer, right? They're looking at an anime singer. And that's the one thing I noticed, that the projector is actually all the way at the back of the stage, and it's projecting on this very fine mesh that it looks like it's not there, but it's there. It's what the image is projecting on. So that was really interesting. But I thought, I guess they don't care that it's not they're cheering an anime image. They're
not biological AI.
Yeah, exactly.
To quote Walt Silva.
Okay, so let's continue this. So there I posted on the radio chat the link to that the video that he quotes regarding Pelosi. Okay, the next paragraph says, the attacks are going both ways. Trump ally Benjamin Netanyahu was finally indicted on corruption charges last week. Pentagon sources say he's trying to negotiate a plea bargain by threatening to tell the world what he knows about Fukushima mass murder attack against Japan. Also, Trump lawyer and ally Rudolph Giuliani has publicly been saying that he might be killed, but he has insurance, in quotes. Presumably, he is talking about what he knows about 9/11, since he was mayor of New York at the time of the attacks. Then, of course, there was the attempted poisoning of Trump earlier this month, as reported by several alternative news outlets. What's interesting about this battle between the Gnostic Illuminati and their man Trump versus the world royals is that both seem to support the creation of a meritocratically staffed future planning agency. Russian President Vladimir Putin publicly came out last week and said the future planning agency-based system pioneered by Japan and Singapore, and which is now used by China, is superior. And then in quotes, the aggregate performance of the Chinese economy is a lot more efficient than that of other major economies, including the American one, Putin told the VTB Capital Investment Forum, Russia Calling, on Wednesday. I think that to a major extent, this causes the concern of our U.S. friends and explains the restrictions imposed on China, Putin said, adding that the U.S. sanctions were a result of this fact, not of the disparity of the trade balance. The key to Chinese success, according to Putin, was a unique symbiosis between the centralized planning and the market economy. End quotes. The White Dragon Society has long promoted the establishment of a world future planning agency emulating and improving upon the Asian central planning / market hybrid model that Putin is praising. If such an agency were set up with an annual budget of $1 trillion or more, it could end poverty and stop environmental destruction within a matter of months. After that, it could consult with the people of the world about how to turn this planet into the paradise it is meant to be. The agency could also oversee a swords to plowshares transition of the military-industrial complex. Following this, it could carry out an expansion of human and Earth life into the universe. Instead of running the planet on the current Western system of perpetual conflict, we can start making love, not war. Remember, the battle of evolution isn't won by the lion that is fighting and risking injury or death. It is won by the lion that is back in its cave making love. And that's all he wrote. Back to you.
That was a funny ending.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So, Dolly, what are you thinking? I gave her a trick question.
I'm still on that clone versus hologram versus double. I have trouble with this. I really have trouble. And it's troubles me like time does. I can't wrap my brain around it. But yet sometimes when things happen, it's right there. I understand it. It's in front of my face, and how could I not see it? But this thing with Schiff being a hologram in a room with a bunch of people who touch him Oh,
well,
yes.
now you're saying that he's been touched. Have you witnessed
yes,
him being touched?
Yes, I did. It just okay. hit me. When he was walking out of the room, he was in a big hurry so he could get his ass in front of the fake news cameras. He was touching people to get around them. Okay, so and they moved. Would that not be a real touch? How would they know to move if he's a freaking hologram?
If the people around him were holograms, they could touch him.
Oh my God. And here we go with the filler people that Diane Cannon talks about.
Background people.
Century.
What'd you say, Nancy?
Background people. She called them background.
Yeah, the background people. Oh, good heavens. I'm just going to live in Dolly World and be happy.
And that's it. That's the reality you want. You want Dolly World. You don't want the reality of these people. It's all toxic crap.
It's awful.
And it's terrible that people invest so much of their attention energy into it because that just feeds the machine. If they could starve the machine and wake up to that fact that they want to be plugged into this, and like there's this woman who's a relative of my mom who lives in Argentina, and her Facebook is atrocious. The energy coming out of it, it's like whatever comes out of a cesspool, because all she does is rant and rave against the things that the government is doing. But all she's doing is feeding them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not suggesting a solution. You're not saying the recipe to fix this would be to do this. You're not putting out any positive energy. It's just rant and rave and rant and rave and rant. And okay, that's exactly what they want. That's the energy that they run on. So you are as much guilty for what they're doing than they are. Because that's the reality you're feeding. But you can't tell them that. They don't have the level of consciousness. Like I said to you in a previous show, it's Argentina is anachronistic. In some things, it is very modern, very advanced. In other things, it is as primitive as the Stone Age. I don't know how. I do not miss living there.
I wouldn't either. So that was an interesting Fulford. And I'm in the same place I was when I started with him. Very interesting, but I don't believe it all. I don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
But you have to admit that the big change and for a while, things were just floating there in limbo. But once the military started waking up and deciding, okay, this isn't working anymore, that's when the whole ship got turned around. Remember, it started a little bit at a time. Like, for example, I remember seeing the trial of, I think it was an armed force captain. I can't remember which armed force, if it was Army or Marines or something. And he was given orders to deploy and to take his men to one of these battle fronts out in the Middle East. And he refused because he knew, you know, they were being sent there to die. And what were they doing there anyway? It made no sense, no political sense or anything. And I remember at the time, I remember talking to Nancy about it, and she explained to me that the military, they don't teach you to obey blindly. If a superior is giving you an order that is in obvious and contradiction, highly risky, highly dangerous, you're not going to obey blindly. You are allowed to disobey. You're not trained to be a robot. You have to have common sense and understand it. So little by little, more and more started coming out of these these officers refusing to obey blindly because this senator or that senator, you know, because one of the things is that when you look back many years, one of the senses that I got is that the military they were at the beck and call of the senators, and they would say, oh, we have to declare war on that guy. Okay, let's go. Let's go kill all of, as many people as we can find over there. And just fought. And I remember thinking, you know, why don't these senators go and put their life on the line? They just pick up a phone and order 100,000 men to go die or 10,000 men to go die. Because what? For some money manipulation?
Because they make money off of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Because they would get a phone call, I guess, from one of the arms dealers or arms manufacturers saying, you know, we're short this month. Could you give us some conflict in this area so we can sell more weapons? Oh, yeah, no, don't problem, Ernie. I'll make sure that I'll send 10,000 men to that area, and you should be getting orders soon. That's what it was. They were just, I mean, if ever the term cannon fodder was applicable, it was there. So the military started waking up. They started saying no. And that was the big turning point of this whole scenario, where now it's a civil war. We don't see it out on the surface, but it's happening.
You know, back when I was a reserve, I was an active duty officer, and then I left active duty and became a reserve officer. So every month, for a weekend, you'd go play Army. And in 1983, I had 11 years in. They came to us. We were actually designated if anything happened, we were the first to deploy. Rapid deployment force. And so they came to us and they made us state that you had to agree to this, okay? That if you got orders to go to the Middle East, you would carry them out. You know, it was a very, I'd never seen any kind of statement like this. But I could not sign that paper. I couldn't go to the Middle East. I was not going to go to the Middle East to fight for petroleum. And that's why I resigned my commission. So the fact of the matter is that way back in the 50s, the military has been knowing there's problems, but they have built into the military this requirement that you, when I was in the 70s, it was every 2 to 4 years, depending on where you were or what you were doing, you would have to go to a different post. And by this continual switching around of the people, nobody would, you know, you don't really get to know somebody for a bit, and then you're going to talk about, you know, things that could get you killed? Not likely. So there was not the ability to, especially in the officer corps, they were jumping around every 2 years. So it was really a way of keeping people from knowing the truth and talking about it and organizing to protect. Because the idea of the way that it's set up is that you have the government, the civilian government that is in charge of the military. So the military works at the behest of the Congress of the United States, and the President of the United States is considered the Commander-in-Chief. So the only time that you would absolutely abandon that chain of command is because the Constitution of the United States is in peril. And that's exactly what finally happened, is that enough of them knew the truth, so it was getting desperate, and they began to talk to one another. And since then, we've at least had hope, in my opinion. Any comments?
You are very, very lucky, all of us, to be living in this country, because in Argentina, the military take orders from the church. So good luck with the military defending you.
Okay, I want to play this 13 minutes when we get back, because it's something that about 5G that is like, oh my God, this is a big game changer. So I did this for last Radio 5G show. I wanted people to hear this information, and I think we might have talked about it at the beginning of last. No, I think it was with Derek on the Shungite show. And I think you'll find it fascinating, but it's also because I think it's so important that I want to get it on every one of my shows so that somebody will maybe hear this and tell the people that are involved in 5G or if it's a government person. So we're going to do our little, Relax Now song, Dolly. And then when we come back, I'm going to play 13 minutes and we'll then come back and talk some more. All right, so here we go.
Ooh.
And welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. My name's Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. And right now I am going to play... where did it go? I'm going to play a clip from a show that I did for 5G last week. So, I'm going to get this little sucker up here. It was here and now I've got it. Oh, for heaven's sakes, where the heck is it? Okay, got it. All right, it's 13 minutes, and when we come back, I think it's very important that everybody listens to it and knows this information. So here we go. Now, right now, I want to talk about something that happened just, you know, what's today's date? 20th, all right, in the last 10 days. And this is where it gets frustrating because... myself, I can only do what I can do. Michael's better at getting things, but normally somebody on Facebook will post something that, you know, tells me more about 5G than I get anyplace else. But I had never heard of what had actually happened. So I want to go back, let me see, when was the date on that? Okay, it was in August. Was it last year? Let me just look here. Sorry, I'm having a... August 9th. Okay. Okay, on August 9th, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit issued a decision substantially setting back the efforts of the Federal Communications Commission to expedite the deployment of densified 4G/5G so-called small cell towers. The FCC had issued an order in March 2018 eliminating environmental and historic preservation review of densified 4G plus 5G so-called small cells. The FCC had reasoned that even though the industry planned to deploy as many as 800,000 of these 50-foot possibly taller towers in neighborhoods and historic districts around the country by 2026. It was not in the public interest to review their potential impacts on the environment and historical places. The court vacated the portions of the order that exempted small cells from NPA and NHPA reviews, delivering a setback to FCC's efforts to speed up small cell deployment. Cases challenging another recent FCC order that limits local government control over small wireless facilities is currently pending before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. In an appeal brought by the Natural Resource Defense Council and several Native American tribes, the court found, this is the case we're talking about, that the FCC had failed to adequately address possible harms of its deregulatory efforts and the benefits of environmental and historic preservation review. In particular, the court observed that the FCC had failed to address the cumulative harms that may result from densification. This is some of them. The crowding of municipal cell towers in a limited area. The potential harm from co-location of multiple cell antennas on a pole simultaneously transmitting voice and data on multiple frequency bands. The FCC quickly and prematurely deploying this densification of wireless telecommunication facilities scheme before the FCC had completed its ongoing investigation into the potential health effects of pulsed data-modulated radio frequency electromagnetic microwave radiation from antennas in such close proximity to where people live, work, study, play, sleep, and heal. Antennas installed as close as 15 to 50 feet from homes and only 25 to 50 feet off the ground. The court found that the FCC order was arbitrary and capricious, and therefore unlawful. Consequently, the court vacated the FCC's order 18-30, thereby reinstating prior regulations requiring environmental and historic preservation reviews of densified 4G and 5G cell tower deployments. Okay, this is Attorney Edward B. Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, an interventor in the case stated, I intervened in opposition to FCC order because the order represented a precipitous effort to jam thousands of 4G, 5G towers into virtually every neighborhood in the country, including mine, based on woefully outdated RF-EMR exposure guidelines. The effort of the FCC to develop meaningful RF-EMR exposure guidelines, especially with regard to health impacts of pulse data modulated radio frequency electromagnetic microwave radiation emitted by small cell towers, are practically non-existent. I am grateful by the court's decision, which in my view is a cautionary tale against the arbitrary and capricious efforts of the FCC to dispense with NEPA review. The three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals issued its unanimous ruling. Okay, and let's just see. Okay, the FCC also failed to adequately address possible harms of deregulation and benefits of environmental and historical preservation review, which means the commission's deregulation of small cells is thus arbitrary and capricious. 4G and 5G and small cell frequencies impact wildlife. For example, research finds the radiation alters bird navigation, disturbs honeybee colonies, damages trees, and impacts plants. Research on insect and 5G finds that their bodies can absorb up to 3 times more power from 5G millimeter wave frequencies. And this could lead to major changes in how they behave and function, affecting the capacities of bees and other insects to pollinate. Published reviews on 5G millimeter waves and wireless, even from decades ago, have cataloged a host of harmful impacts, including increased temperature, altered gene expression, faster cell growth, inflammatory and metabolic process, damage to the eyes and cellular stress, memory problems, sperm damage, genetic damage, behavior issues, and brain damage. In 2018, 19 tribal groups, the Natural Resource Defense Council, and Attorney Edward B. Myers filed requests for reconsideration. As Myers stated in his press release, the FCC has ignored the requirements of federal law by ruling without having conducted any impact analysis that so-called small wireless facilities are not likely to have any significant environmental impact and therefore do not require any prior review. The FCC also failed to meet its responsibilities under the Communication Act to ensure that its actions promote health and safety. So this came out in, It was August 10th, 2019. Okay, so that was August of this year. Well, now what just recently happened is that this is how it starts out. The Federal Communication Commission last year approved an order that exempted most small cells. Okay, that's what they had done. Then the FCC claimed its deregulation of small cells was necessary to spur deployment of 5G networks. but the commission was sued by the United Kiowa Band of Cherokee Indians in Oklahoma, the Blackfeet tribe, and the Natural Resources Defense Council. The FCC order was of particular interest to tribal groups because it affected construction on sites of religious and cultural importance to federally recognized Indian tribes, the judges noted. The order also effectively reduced tribes' role in reviewing proposed construction of the towers and other wireless facilities that remain subject to cultural and environmental review. The FCC's opponents argued that the elimination of historic slash preservation and environmental review was arbitrary and capricious, that it violated both the NHPA and NEPA, and that the charges to tribes' roles in reviewing construction was arbitrary and capricious. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia Circuit issued a unanimous ruling today. And what they were doing was upholding the first ruling. Okay, so it had been appealed. This is the appeal. And again, they found for the original court decision that the FCC is bonkers and they can't do it anymore. Judges wrote that the order does not justify the commission's determination that it was not in the public interest to require review of small cell deployments. In particular, the commission failed to justify its confidence that the small cell deployments pose little to no cognizable religious, cultural, or environmental risk, particularly given the vast numbers of proposed deployments and the reality that the order will principally affect small cells that require new construction. The FCC also failed to adequately address possible harms of deregulation and benefits of environmental and historical preservation. The judges, and it goes on. I mean, this gets into more of the guts of this is that they made first off, the fact that it was Native Americans that brought this case and got it through. I mean, to me, this is, again, another significant indication of the true network of humanity that is actually growing because of all the crap that the other people have been doing to us. It's like we're beginning to stand up and come together. Now, for those people that are actually out there fighting 5G, you know, in the streets, in the buildings, you got to get on this information. There is a way, because now the responsibility falls to us to get it in the eyes of the commissions that are making these decisions, your city, your county, your state governments. You've got to get it in front of them because they keep saying, well, the FCC says we have to do it. Well, no. The FCC's ruling has been overturned by court. But I guarantee you're not going to see that on mainstream TV. We've got to make them aware of it. So you do your homework here. Get the information. There's like letters that you can send to the people that, you know, have told you or you're just getting into it that want to fall back on, it's not my problem because I was told to do this and blah, blah, blah. No, you know, this is an incredibly important case. And it was, you know, got them going because of the Native Americans and, you know, namaste to them. I mean, it's just, God bless these people. Preaching. Whoops, I spaced out. Okay, so what do you guys want to say about that?
Well, I hope you weren't standing on a ladder when you spaced out.
No, I'm sitting in front of the computer. Thank you.
Well, the thing that you just, the thing that you explained about the court, in a way reminded me of regarding this thing with the smart meters for the homes, where someone presented that instead of fighting against the power companies, you're suing the municipalities. You know, this is the harm that this smart meter is doing to me. So the municipalities have the power to tell the power companies, okay, take these smart meters out of here, because they're not protected by anything, by any law. So that just kind of reminds me of that, is that these guys thought that they were so protected and so omnipotent that nobody would question what they're doing. And no, it was questioned and it was found to be wanting. Like you said, you know, capricious, and no proper study was done. Everything was pushed. And it's incredibly suspicious when they're so gung-ho about pushing something through without, you know, the due process and analysis and all of that. So what are you guys planning to do with this? Because you're too much of a rush.
Well, you know, it was funny because the first, that is only a 13-minute clip of an hour show. And, well, an hour. The first, it was a 2-hour show. The first hour was, I had Mark Steele on. And you made a remark. Did you make it, or was it Michael? Because I did a show with Michael, a pre-record for tomorrow. But Mark was accosting a linesman about what he was doing with a 5G system and the LED light. And the guy got so perturbed he threw whatever he had in his hand. Well, that turned out to be the antenna that allowed Mark to contact Sasha Stone and get the Apocalypse Now out, movie out. Well, now he gets a message. I think he said an email, but yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was an email, and it said, "I've got something for you. Go to this location and look for a box." So they do, and they find somebody has gifted them with the entire LED light, the lamp itself, with all its guts, everything. And when he opened this thing up, it was much more than what, I mean, it's unbelievable what's in it. We did the show, the first hour of the last Radio 5G was on that. He also has a video out that you can go to that he goes through each piece, you know. But the thing of it is that when you're dealing with Mark, you're dealing with somebody who is obviously being, his whole life he's been trained to be the person that realizes what the problem is before it can take effect. Because he said that when he was a kid, he was fascinated with weapons. And as he grew into a young man, he would look at everything and think, how can I make it into a weapon? All right. Now, this is really kind of weird thinking, right? But if he, and then he went into developing technology involved in weaponry. But if he hadn't been trained like this, he wouldn't have seen the street, the town over from where he's living, designated the town of the future, first town of the future, and they 5G the dang thing. And he's looking up and he's looking at this LED light and he goes, oh, new light. I wonder how I can weaponize it. And then he looks at it again. He goes, or is it weaponized? And he was the one that went into the government and said, look, do you guys know that this blah, 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 and started an amazing influx of information, because I had been saying that it was a weapon system. Nobody was listening to me. And they tried to throw him in jail. And, in fact, two judges declared him a court expert. I mean, if you tried to write this in fiction, Walt, you know what I'm saying? It's like there is a divine, I call it, you know, the universe of spiritual intervention, USI, because it's so many. I mean, when I was writing the book and talking about how you and I got together and the way that we, you know, began to unravel the secrets of Shungite, it was like, you know, I'm not taking much credit for it because, you know, somebody was leading me the whole way. So, anyway, I just wanted to play that for anybody that happens to be a government official, because you think you could have been sued for letting this stuff out before. Well, now there is nothing to fall back on. You have a mandatory by law to stop it. And not only that, it was vague enough. The legal interpretation was vague enough that all of those that have already been put in and have not gone through that process, they're going to have to stop. And they're going to have to go back and do that. And they can't pass it. They can't pass any of it.
Now, my question is, having this order from the court that's stopping the deployment of the 5G, given all the arguments that were presented, does this mean that if somebody wants to sue them because they are putting installations where they shouldn't, they have no protection, or they are protected
Correct.
From being
Correct.
Sued?
No. So because it would be more like, can I see the permits? Okay, and the permits you can't get without these particular studies done. So if you don't have a permit, then you call the zoning department of your local people and say they don't have any zoning right here. There's no permit. See, it's a matter of they have to have a permit to build. And you can't get the permit as you couldn't before, but the FCC decided to change that in March of 2018. Okay, so the governments were falling back on that order. Well, now it's not there anymore. And in fact, you're all breaking the law. So you better get your heads in this game and realize that you think you could have been in legal problems before. Well, you can be in real legal problems now because you're breaking law.
Well, for all those out there that are involved or know how to do publicity campaigns, this sounds like fantastic material for a publicity campaign. Why wait for the newspaper to show this? You've already, we've already established, the Hazarian media machine is not going to show this because it's against their interest. So all those people that, have their own websites and they do publicity campaigns, fine, do a publicity campaign, put it out there. I mean, the internet is chock full of ads on publicity. I'm sure you can flood, thousands and thousands, if not millions of sites with this information, and it just appears as a pop-up. SEC is forbidden from deploying 5G and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And that'll catch people's eyes.
Absolutely. I'm taking that clip and I'm going to put it up on Beware 5G, the YouTube station, because it's 13 minutes. And if you've got anybody that, just listen to this, and if they'll sit and they'll listen to it, then they'll get it. Or get the documents that I'm citing in there and you put the papers in front of them. But they don't have any legal right anymore. They had no moral right. They had no moral right.
When you're driving down the highway, those giant billboards, wouldn't it be great if somebody put one? Did you know the FCC is forbidden from deploying 5G? Find out why. And then they put a website. And, people that are texting and looking at their phone, they're going to take a photo and they're going to go to that website and find out what the hell's going on. What is this about? That's all it is, awareness and exposure.
Do you remember it was back in, probably 18, I'm trying to think, because I actually had done a show on 5G back in 2014, which I had no remembering that I had done it that early. But all of a sudden, I suddenly became aware of the fact that they not only were increasing the speed that they were deploying it, but they already had deployed it in many areas, the 5G. So I got like, oh my God, what's happening here? And I got this line in the sand. And I talked about it. We were doing live radio. I got this picture of this line in the sand. And 5G is just that, It's because we were losing the battle with the densification of 4G. And when they tried to push this 5G crap, and the 5G crap has nothing to do with telecommunications. Please listen to Mark's explanation of this. It has nothing to do with it. The lens system at the top of this LED is actually a frequency modulated pulsing signal that is in the sub gigahertz range, which means that it will not be stopped by concrete. It can look right through the concrete. and can see everything that's happening inside the concrete. This was designed for the use on a battlefield to be able to have people that your enemy that have are hiding behind a wall and they think nobody can see them, and you can see them. Okay, right through the wall. Sub gigahertz. It's a very, very long signal. Very, very, very long signal. You've heard of low frequency being used for submarine communication. Well, this is below that. And that's what those dang 53,000 satellites are using, is a sub gigahertz. It's not used for telecommunications. It's used for surveillance. So, you know, my feeling is that right now you've got the law behind you. You take it one government at a time. They have nothing to stand on anymore. You can tear them. Any argument that they have no more because they've lost the FCC ruling by law. Not once, but the appellate court held it up too. Now, the next thing they'll try to do is take it to the Supreme Court. Doesn't matter. Right now, it's done. So, anyway. So, pass it on. Please, 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 please. Let everybody, especially the activists, know this. Okay, so, we've got a half an hour here. What are we going to do?
Oh, I'm thinking of flashing them.
That'll scare them.
I don't even know how to respond.
Well, Dolly, don't you have any stories from the posse to regale us with?
No.
In your latest adventures? Nothing? No adventures? Nothing?
No, no.
Nothing magical?
I've had very, very hectic time since Friday. No. So, I told you, Nancy, that you'd get it fixed. That's why I wasn't freaking out.
What fixed?
5G.
Oh, yeah, right.
I told you.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't freaking.
Well, you said me and Walt.
Well, yeah.
It was really the Native Americans.
But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They were the instrument, but it was already done. Remember when you said that whenever you are going to manifest, you need to create an excuse for the manifestation?
Has to be a story.
There has to be a story. So yep. That's what, because if it had magically disappeared, everyone will be freaking out. What? What's going on? Something magically disappeared. Well, no. It has disappeared, but here's a story.
And the story was so awesome because it was the Native Americans. You know, so many times they've been put down. I mean, you know, this is like, remember Standing Rock? You know, what hell they put those people through and they got their damn pipeline through anyway. Now, yeah, but this is bigger than that. This is the biggest fight that we have out there legally. And who was the spearhead? The Native Americans. That's why I was like really impressed with the story. You know, I mean, the details of it are just astonishing to me. And that it was done and nobody knew about it. And I did not. I've got radio 5G. I heard nothing about the first case in August. Nothing.
That would be a great thing that should come out of this. I hope it does happen, that it does come out of this. The end to this business that, I'm Native, you know, whatever happens to the Native Americans, it's their business. Or, you know, this business of being separate because of ethnicity or whatever excuse you want to make it up, you know, it's over. We are faced with this horrible cabal that's been ruling the world for centuries. They want to get rid of all of us and just leave a handful to serve them. So it behooves all of us to stand together. It doesn't mean I'm going to become American Indian. It doesn't mean that an American Indian has to convert to something that they're not. No. We're all valuable. We're all human. And there's nothing stopping us from standing together under the common cause of wanting to live a productive, happy life without being, you know, enslaved, controlled, exploited, And that's, you know, not, and having forced to live on an unnatural existence. Because remember, I was annoyed by the fact that years ago, not too long after we started working together with the Shangite, when we wanted to help the people that had a water issue with in that reservation. Remember that? We wanted to help them because they had contamination.
Yeah.
And the thing was, we couldn't approach them because we're not Native American. They won't listen to us. They won't speak to us because we're not Native Americans. They have to be approached by someone who is a Native American. I'm thinking, this is bullshit. We're all human. We're all working together. We're all inhabiting the same planet. If we don't work together, we can't have this thing. Oh, I'm this and you're that. You know, no, we're not talking to you because you're that and I'm this. You know, that's got to be over. We're going to survive and overcome every piece of crap the cabal throws at us. We have to stand together. We have to communicate and take care of each other.
Hey, well, you know how people are always asking us, you know, how can I be protected from 5G? How can I prepare? Well, I was listening to, I actually played the tape a number of times. Claire Edwards. She gave this talk about the satellite systems, the 5G satellite systems. But she prefaced it with a discussion that was in part based on the guy who had done the presentation before her. And he said that the only insect that we love is the butterfly. And the only insect that is not affected by Wi-Fi is the butterfly. And that's the power of love. So the next time somebody says to you, how are we going to protect you? You just look at them straight in the face and you say, love. Put out more love energy than you can even think you're capable of.
Keep throwing those love blankets.
I don't think a love blanket's big enough. Love tents. Let's call them love tents. Let's build them up now. Let's get love tents out there.
That's look at... That's very insightful because look at the system of conditioning, how much time and energy they invest in teaching you not to love. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And in school, you end up hating yourself because it's only by the effort of parents that schools do anything about bullying. School systems witness bullying going on and they do nothing about it. Only when things reach a critical stage and somebody gets killed or ends up in the hospital, do they decide to do something about it. But my personal experience, school is where I first learned to hate myself because I was the butt of all jokes. Nobody wants to talk to you for where, and you know, to grow up in a country where the next religion after the church is soccer. Not to like soccer and not to play soccer, I don't know how I didn't get burned at the stake. That's unthinkable, you know. Don't tell anybody you don't like soccer and you don't play soccer because forget it. You've just become the town leopard. So, you know, school is the first place where I learned to hate myself because my reasoning was if I were different, if I were somebody else, then people would like me, but I can't help it. I don't know how to be somebody else. I can only be what I am. So where does society teach you love? And if somebody dares, and if you dare to say someone the words, in quotes, I love you, the first reactions I've seen is suspicion, fear, you know, wariness. It's like, my God, it's like you just threw the biggest insult you could lob at them. And so when you see all the kind of stuff, you see how deep this whole conditioning and programming goes, and we have to get rid of it. We can't continue with all this conditioning and programming that love is a bad thing, but violence and sex is fine. You know, violence, that's the fuel that keeps society going. No, that doesn't work anymore. Sorry.
Well, over here in the West, they don't want you talking about God either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know... But it's okay. So we have to give an update on Oak Island. We talked about it on Saturday's Say What Show, but we have to give an update because they appear, it appears, now you're going to love this story, it appears that the ship that everybody thought was in the swamp is maybe not a ship at all, but a tunnel. All right? So what that would mean is because they've discovered, I think I told you last week, that the swamp is actually man-made. So what we thought was happening, and this probably was happening, is that they made a wharf, and the ships were offloading treasure onto this wharf, okay, because they found something that looks like a stone wharf. And this image that they've got is not a ship that was sunk there after it was, you know, it was still ocean, they sunk it, but rather that they closed it in and dried out the swamp and then built a tunnel on top of the ground that they then went deep with, right? I mean, it's the only thing, because they think there's a tunnel down there. And when I did the remote, as I said on Say What, was that when I did the remote, I got, they were taught, they, I see this picture. They're talking about it being a ship, so I got it in my head. I'm a ship, you know, and boom, I got a spontaneous jump to that particular location. And to me, I thought the ship must be on its hull because it was all wood, but there wasn't anything in it, and it went on for a very long distance. But maybe I was in a tunnel looking down, only I thought that I was going to a ship, so that's what I was trying to make my 3D mind was trying to see, you know? But this is where this last weekend got really, I mean, this last episode got really weird. So they had brought in this swamp man, and the swamp man was able to determine that this had to have been ocean water not very long ago. And in the swamp, and that this wasn't, it was a man-made swamp. And the guy got fascinated with the whole thing, and he started to look at pictures where he's getting a visual view of the swamp. And he sees something that I don't know anybody else that saw it, I certainly didn't, but the swamp was made as a triangle, okay? And at the point of the triangle, or one point, because it depends on how you're looking at it, but the point of the triangle that's in the swamp, that's on the far side, okay, the guy says to him, you guys have to take a look at this area here. So they're looking at it, you know, looking at why, and it says, well, because you see this thing right here that looks like an eye? And it was like, all of a sudden, you got the eye in the middle of a pyramid. But what was odd about it was that the eye was not like you see in the dollar bill. It was, in fact, not horizontal. It was vertical. So even though we were looking at an eye in the pyramid, nobody saw it like that. And the swamp scientist went back and looked at pictures over, you know, as far back as they had aerial pictures, and it was always there. So he said to them, that's some kind of a man-made structure, and because otherwise the vegetation would have overgrown it. He said, go down and investigate what's there. And so they did, and the metal detector guy got in the water, and he was finding metal all around the edge of this eye.
Gary,
thank you.
I just remembered it. Gary.
We won't forget again. So Gary is in the water with his metal detector, and they're in a boat, a little boat, right? So now you got, you know, essentially the sign of the Freemasons in the swamp.
So it's a reptilian eye? It's vertical?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the reptiles made Oak Island?
No, I don't think so. I think it was subterfuge when you're trying to make somebody see something the symbology of it is that there's an eye there. But if you make it so obvious, then the game's up. But nobody saw it until this swamp man got there. So it's, I mean, the storyline is phenomenal. It is this year, it's real mind bender after another, don't you think, Dolly?
Absolutely.
Does the show have a gift shop?
Oh, I'm sure someplace.
Yeah. They,
you should buy Dolly a t-shirt that says, I'm an Oak Island girl.
I know they have the museum, but I don't know about a gift shop. Huh, that's interesting to maybe look up.
I bet if you Google it, you'll find somebody selling t-shirts with Oak Island stuff on them.
Yeah. Yeah, because it would be a moneymaker, so I would think.
Oh, you know what they call us, Dolly? Do you know? Mm-mm. You know the fans of the show. We're called acorns.
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 What grows out of an acorn? An oak tree.
I hadn't heard that. If I did, I it didn't dawn on me what they were saying. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know the guy that does all the questioning, the you know, wraps up things and stuff, you know, the little guy?
Maddie.
He was talking about the acorns, and I'm going like, what is he talking about? And then, you know, a little bit into it, he said, you fans, you acorns. I said, oh, the fans are the acorns. Got it.
Well, you know what an acorn is.
Yeah, it's a nut.
Yeah, so they're calling us nuts.
No, you're calling us nuts. I'm calling myself the beginning of an oak tree, not a nut. Speaking of life force, have you got any new scientific revelations from our awesome life force guy, Carter?
Oh, that's amazing. You can't read it all at once. It's not that the book is boring, it's that it's just so deep and so full of information. You have to read like one chapter and then spend time digesting and going over it, because he literally disassembles your reality. Whatever you think you know about something, you have to revamp everything. And I keep dousing it, you know, is this real? Is this true? And I just keep getting yes. So he's not making up any of the stuff that he's claiming. And the thing is, like, he's always debunking what scientists put out there as gospel, because, like he says, the universe is not that complicated. It's actually, the answer is actually more simple than the question. But he says when the scientists can't explain something, they come up with this super convoluted explanation and these super complicated equations and theories, because since they don't understand and they don't want to understand, or they're not seeing what's in front of them, they try to explain things with the super complicated response or a theory that can never be proven. So it's their way of avoiding saying those horrible, horrible words, I don't know. So
what did you digest this week?
Well, for example, he's explaining the Van Allen belts, why they are where they are, and they are not what scientists tell you that they are, because you understand that the planet is like a giant magnet, and he explains how the planet generates this magnetism, and it makes perfect sense. It's simplicity itself. So if you imagine, for example, a bar magnet, and you must have seen pictures of when somebody takes a bar magnet and they put it under a piece of paper and then they sprinkle iron fillings over it, the iron dust shapes itself along the magnetic lines. And you see, you know, the image of the magnetic lines is drawn out by the iron fillings. So when you have a bar magnet, the maximum intensity of the magnetic field is to be found at the poles, not at the middle. So here he says the scientists are trying to explain how these are all made of the Van Allen belts are made of protons and electrons and blah blah blah, and he says if that were the case, then they would have been already attracted to the poles, and you know it would be much nearer the Earth. But the Van Allen belts are really out there. It's, you know, like 20,000 miles away from the planet. So he points out that because of the charge on the particles, and it has to do with cosmic dust. You know, we know that space is full of cosmic dust, and these things have a charge. So up when they get charged by the energy of the sun, they have a charge so that they stay away from the poles. So, and essentially what the bells are sitting in the space between the poles, not at the poles, because nobody is able to, you know, the scientists can't explain, okay, why are their belts a belt? And if you follow their explanation, they wouldn't be there. They would have already collapsed and fallen into the poles. And he explains the dynamics of the charges. So essentially, they're sitting in the area of the least magnetic, of the least strength of the magnetic field of the Earth. That's why they sit in a belt. They extend from 60 degree latitude north to 60 degree latitude south, staying away from the poles. So the explanation makes so much sense, and it's amazing. I mean,
well, there was some people that said that they couldn't have possibly done the Apollo shots because they would have had to travel through the Van Alden belts, and they wouldn't have gotten through because of the radiation. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know about that particular claim, but it's one of the things that he explains in great depth and with lots of detail is that the Apollo moon program actually did use the help of UFO-type technology. He says there's no way they could have made that journey and back with chemical fuel. I mean, they would have had to carry like a Titanic-sized vessel with fuel because you can't get there and back on just fuel alone. And in fact, he does make a very good case because I do remember seeing there's a really old film that was done in the 60s where the lander went down, which was like a platform, and on top of the lander you had this thing like almost looked like a kind of a cube, which was the capsule where the astronauts were in.
Yes.
And then at one point that capsule takes off and it has to meet with the other part of the ship that was orbiting the moon. Now, when you pay attention, they did film when the capsule took off. And like he points out correctly in the book, if the capsule had moved by virtue of chemical rocketry, the first thing you would have seen is the fumes or the fire of the rockets igniting. So I know they claim that there's no atmosphere in the moon, which is false. And if it had moved by chemical rocketry, you would have seen, you know, the exhaust of the chemical rocket, because the fuel is, you know, liquid oxygen is the basis for the rocket fuel. But you don't see that at all. What you see is particles, like a shower of multicolored particles. It's very fast. If you blink, you miss it. So he goes on to explain that they did use UFO-type technology, and they knew how to do the using the gravity to repel you. And so it's by changing, by the gravity rejects the negative charges. So negative charges are always flying up away from the ground. So if you take a physical body and you change the fundamental charge of that physical body, gravity works to push you away, not to pull you in. And that's what the technology is able to do. So they were shot up by anti-gravity technology, not by chemical rocketry.
So that makes so much sense.
In fact, you can make your own anti-gravity device. There is this thing that you can actually build, like a little lab project. Like, you know, when you give little kids a little project to do science, like play with test tubes and stuff like that. Which all it takes is it's a high voltage DC power supply, where they take this balsa wood frame. You may have seen pictures of it, and they make it like in squares and triangles. And so you have this frame, and the top half of the frame is tin foil, just aluminum foil. and it sits, so it looks kind of like a kite, and the foil is sitting vertical. And let's say it's a triangle. And then the bottom part, along the top of the tops of the balsa wood, along the top of the sticks, you run a wire that's exposed. It's a bare wire. And what you do is you apply the negative pole to that wire. So what happens is the electrons, the negative charges are flowing toward the aluminum foil, and gravity is rejecting those charges. So what happens is the entire thing lifts. It just lifts out of the ground. And in fact, if you don't anchor it with wire, it lifts so fast it actually hits the ceiling of whatever room you're working in. So
wow,
everything that he explains.
Okay, I got an experiment for you. I think you can use shungite powder. We used nectar powder, but I'm pretty sure that you could use shungite. So you take a copper pipe, one inch copper pipe, and you fill the pipe with powder, shungite powder. Then you wrap a coil of, let's say, 10-gauge copper wire. Just, you have to sort of make it, you know, just feel it. Well, you're not energy sensitive, but just wrap it, you know, it'll be fine. And when you get to the top, you just take off about maybe 6 inches, 8 inches. It's probably better 8 inches of wire just sticking off the top. And you also leave like enough wire at the bottom to connect it to a C battery. Okay? And then you take crystals. And I'm talking about amethyst point crystals. And you got the battery attached, and you hold the crystal on the top wire that comes off the top, right? Just hold it there and then let it go. And it'll just leave your hands and kind of fly anti-gravitational wise for about 4 or 5 inches. At least that's what it was doing with the nectar. But you got to be careful, because I accidentally hit my elbow against the battery and it was about to explode. Because I was doing really fly by the night kind of, you know, stuff. So, but I bet you could, I wanted to tell you about that, experiment, because it's telling us something.
But if you're connecting the two ends of the coil to the C battery, it's not lasting very long, because that's a short circuit right there.
No, I forget what I did, but I only went to one of them. That was the thing, is I only tied into one. And I'm not sure if it was the negative or the positive. Probably the positive.
Mm.
So something was feeding the battery. But was it being drawn? I don't know. All I know is that we repeated this until the battery almost exploded. Okay, we're at the top of the show. Thank you so much for being here. I think it's been fun. Dolly, did you want... Oh, let's start with Walt. Walt, you want to say goodnight? And tell them where your website is so that they can find you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here with us tonight. My website is newparadigmtools.net. That's all together, New Paradigm Tools. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Dolly.
And Dolly.
Thank you, Walt. I enjoyed it, yeah. I was going to say something. I can't remember what it was. Oh, will you all keep my son in your prayers and thoughts? He's going in for some surgery procedure tomorrow. And if you'd just keep him in your thoughts, his name is Russell. Thank you. And thank you all for being here. And love you. Love you very much, you guys. Bye-bye.
Preaching the unknown, unknown, unknown.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening.